Somebody say this. Say, he's here. Come on, say, he's here. Now, I need to take you on a trip. We got to go on a trip. We got to go back a week, okay? We got to go back to last weekend. We got to go back to Christmas. I need to let you know that this service last week I was watching online and found out that I was a virgin. That's all I'm going to say about that. If you wasn't here last week, go back in the archives, pull that one out because it was so good. During the service, I text Pastor Jesse and said, bro, you killed it. And between services, he FaceTimed me and I was like, this is great. He goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm at my storage unit putting away Christmas stuff and you helped me do it really fast because I was just laughing the whole sermon. It was a great sermon. Clap for your pastor. That was great. Great Christmas sermon. And I got to go back to Matthew chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. Let me read it to you. It says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophets. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. I'll never look at that the same way again. And they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now I know it's the first Sunday of a new year. Some of you are all Christmased out, but in order for you to get what I'm trying to help you with, I'm going to first say this. There's a reason why Christmas comes before a new year. It makes the entire world, whether they believe in Jesus or not, go back to the facts of it all, the reason for it all. And just to help you with what we're talking about today, I decided to play one more song on this Sunday morning. And it would be my favorite Christmas song. And it goes like this. Somebody say this. Say, the Bible says, 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 says this. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Ephesians 4, 31. Somebody say, the Bible says. The Bible says, get rid of all bitterness. Hello. Let me keep on. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, and brawling, and slander. I think that covers it all. Which means you cannot be a Dallas Cowboy fan because we got all those going on. I'm one of those, but we're still in it, so shut up. All right, here we go. There we go. Brawling, okay? Anger, rage. I just displayed them all, okay? Along with every form of malice, get rid of it all. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, it says, do not be anxious about anything. Oh, come on. You got to like that. Those of you who may be worried, don't worry about a thing. Because every little thing. Let's just go Iowa. I wouldn't do that anywhere but Iowa because y'all know good songs. All right. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Did y'all get that? Yeah. Every situation with thanksgiving. Now, I got to remember where I'm at because I got to read the rest of this, but I'm going to stop right there. When I started in ministry, this is, in ministry-wise, this is what I've done. I've traveled, speak. If you've never heard me, I do public schools. I believe in being that introduction to hope to the world. So I speak to kids where I can't even say Jesus. But when I'm done with a 45-minute assembly program, everybody in the gym is like, holy smokes, who is that? And they don't realize that I have a secret weapon who's Jesus. But then they start Googling me and looking me up, and they don't have to go far to find sermons. But we set it up because you got to be smart. It's one thing, you got to be smart. You just got to be smarter than the average devil. Because they said you can't say Jesus in a public school. And so the devil won. Can't say Jesus in a public school. So here I come. I don't say Jesus in a public school. But I'm so good with young people in a public school that they Google me even while I'm preaching. And all of a sudden, I'll give you one. So I'm in this school and I do an assembly program. When I get done that night, I'm at the hotel. I get a phone call from the Baptist youth pastor. He says, bro, do you know what you did today? I said, first of all, how did you get my cell number? And he said, I called the principal who gave me the Youth Alliance, who I talked to a dude named Preston, who does all your scheduling. He says, Reggie needs to hear this. He said, after your program this morning, the kids went to study hall. And in the study hall, they started Googling you. You had a sermon from a church called Chocolate Sunday, where at the end, you gave an altar call to give your life to Jesus Christ. There were 33 kids in the gym. 29 accepted Jesus on the computer. And I watched it happen. Now look, so for those of you who are sitting there going, well, why do you guys redo libraries in elementary schools? Because you guys a few years ago redid a library in elementary school, that school opened their doors for me to come back to Des Moines and speak to every student in the entire school and give hope and love. And teachers were changed. People don't need to find hope anywhere except the church. Because that's where hope lives. So I worked for a guy. His name was Dave Reaver. He was in Vietnam. Had a hand grenade blow up 6 inches from his face. Blew the whole right side of his face off. This dude was off the chain. His story was incredible. When his wife was 18 and he was 19. He was just back from Vietnam where half his face was blown off. She knew he was burned 90% of his body. The man beside him in the bed, both of them critically burned. His wife walked in and said, you're disgusting. I couldn't walk down the street with you. Threw the wedding ring at him and walked out, and in 2 minutes he died. And the next woman they let in was a girl named Brenda. She walked up to Dave and she said, is it you? And he said, sorry, I can't look good for you anymore. And she said, oh, Dave, you never were good looking to begin with. And that was 55 years ago, and they're still married, and they're still together, and they're still loving people and giving hope. And look at me. Everybody look at me. I tell you that to simply say this to you. No matter what the situation is, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you have to face, don't come up with your own solution or conclusion. It's going to happen like this. It's going to happen like that. No, it says right here, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything through prayer. Give it to God. Yeah. On January 3rd, give it to God. Let him take care of you. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, he's here. He's here. Come on, look at your other neighbor and say, he's here.
He's here.
Are y'all with me this morning?
Yeah.
Y'all okay?
Yeah.
Watch this, verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. I love that. Because everybody has their own understanding today, don't they? If you watch one news channel, you hear one thing. You watch another one, you get another. You watch a third, you're ready to jump off a cliff because there ain't no use going on because we're all doomed. But his love, his peace transcends all understanding. Nothing compares to when you put God in the equation. 99 problems plus one God equals good. I'm just saying. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, Reggie preaching today. Watch this. God's peace will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Psalms chapter 3 verse 5 says this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Matthew chapter 5 verse 44 says this. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That's hard to do, isn't it? But I'm giving you the tools for 2021. Ephesians 4:31 says this. Get rid of all bitterness, anger, and rage, and brawling, and slander, along with any other form of malice. Some of you are like, wait a minute. You already read that once, and I read it to you again. And the reason I read it to you again is because of something that I need to talk to you about, and that's why there's a shoebox on the table. When I was a boy growing up, my mom used to come in on Christmas Eve. And she used to tell us a story about a boy named Tommy. For years and years and years, she would come every year, every Christmas Eve, and she would tell us this story. And the next day would be Christmas Day. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Look at me, Pastor Jesse. Do me a favor. This has scarred me for life. And the reason I'm talking to you is because the senior pastor did this. I was 10 years old, and it was Christmas Sunday. Christmas Sunday. Christmas Day was Wednesday the next week. On Christmas Sunday, our senior pastor invited a missionary from Africa to come and tell his testimony. On Christmas Sunday, Pastor Jesse, do not bring a missionary to your church on Christmas Sunday. Let me explain why. This dude was off the chain. Every time he said Africa, he started to cry. Every time he goes, I got to go back. I got to get back. That's my people. I got to lead them to Christ. He said, one day I was preaching and a snake fell on me. He unfurled a skin of a snake that went all the way across the platform. He said, when it fell on me, it started squeezing. And all I could scream was in the name of Jesus. And the snake died. And everyone in the village got saved. I got to get back. I got to get back. And I'm like, that dude, there's something wrong with him. Obviously, he's a white missionary. Because if a black man has a snake fall on him, he ain't never going back to that country, even if it is Africa. Just saying. All right. All of a sudden, I'm sitting. And I had to sit with my parents because, as you could tell, I was a little disturbing. They kept me under control. My dad leaned to my mom and they said something to each other, and all of a sudden it was the church service ended and pastor goes, let's take up a love offering, let's send him back to Africa, let's let this man be our gift to Africa so that they can know Jesus. We got in the car. I'm the youngest. I'm little, 10 years old. My dad says, okay, listen, I just want you kids to know, on Christmas, on Wednesday, we're going to eat good, we're going to have a great time, but there won't be any Christmas presents. Because I just gave all our Christmas money to that missionary to go back to Africa. God told me to do that. And of course, my brother, who's 7 years older than me, is 17 years old. And he's like, good dad, that's cool. That's the look I gave my brother. Because see, all my friends had bikes. All my friends had bikes. And I even bragged to my friends, Santa's going to bring me a red bike. I'm going to have a red bicycle to ride around the neighborhood. It's going to be awesome. Santa's going to bring me a red bike. There ain't no red. I saw my red bike going to Africa. Now, I know y'all laughing because you ain't 10 and you're not Reggie. I wanted my red bike. And all of a sudden, Monday came and my dad noticed I was a little mad, a little disturbed at him. I'm like, what's wrong? He go, good morning, son.
Good morning, son.
Merry Christmas, shut up. So he looked at me and said, you don't understand now, but later on you will. He says, because in this world you got two choices. Everybody ready? There's another key for 2021. He says you get to be a giver or you get to be a taker. And you got to choose now which one you want to be. That's cool when you're older. But when you're 10, you're like, I'm a taker. I'm going to take a red bike. That's what I want. And so all of a sudden, it's Christmas Eve. I go to bed. I slept in. It was like 8:30, 9 o'clock. My dad comes in and goes, aren't you going to get up? I said, no, there's no reason till lunch. He said, what if Santa came last night? I said, Santa's in Africa. I know y'all thinking this is funny, but this is for, I was so bitter, dude. Wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger with no bike. I walked out and there's a red bicycle. And it said to Reggie, and I'm like, whoa, Santa's real. And it wasn't even that year. My dad just let it go. And I remember about 4 years later, I said to my dad, remember that Christmas you gave all the Christmas money to this Africa dude? He said, yeah. I said, where did the red bike come from? He goes, oh, I've been waiting for you to ask me that. He said, son, on Christmas Eve after you went to bed, literally, the doorbell rang. And four guys from the church came in and said, hey, so this is going to sound stupid, but I had a dream 2 nights ago, and your son was riding a red bicycle down the street. And so I just went and I decided I might as well buy everybody a little Christmas present. So here's some Christmas presents for your family. And here's a red bike for Reggie, all right? He said the bike had a tag on it that said to Reggie from Santa. So I put to Reggie from Santa on it. Are y'all hearing me? If you want 2021 to really change for you, no matter what or how nasty you were in 2020, decide to be a giver, not a taker. Even that year at 10 years old, my mom came in our bedroom with a shoebox. And she said, I want to tell you the story of Tommy and his shoebox. So this morning, everybody look at your neighbor and say, it's story time. Look at your other neighbor and say, here we go. To everybody watching online, it's story time. And to the guy sitting on his couch in his boxers, please, for the love of God. You cover it, put some pants on. You know what's great? There's one guy and he's like. Tommy's mom and dad met when they were in junior high school, 7th grade. His mom just moved to town. And when she walked into the classroom that morning, a boy sat up and looked at her and said, she's an angel. That boy had a plan, and he did what he had to do. He didn't just date that girl. When they graduated from high school, he married that girl. They were in college. He worked nights, went to college during the day. She was in college until all of a sudden, she got really sick, throwing up all the time. And they went to the doctor and realized she was having a baby. It was a boy, and they named him Tommy. When Tommy was born, they were the happiest couple ever. We'll figure it out. We'll figure out how to make it work. We got our family. Everything's great. On the checkup after having Tommy, the doctor looked at Tommy's mom and said, I'm sorry, you have cancer. Tommy's dad dropped out, got another job. The insurance paid for some of the medicine, but not all of it. He kept saying, everything's fine, everything's fine. They're going to get mommy better. Tommy's dad would hold Tommy late at night, and Tommy would cry. He was colicky. He had all these problems. And the day finally came when the money was running out. Tommy's dad didn't know what to do, so he did something he knew he shouldn't, but he had to. So he always had a gun. So he took the gun. He took the clip out. He went down to the 7-Eleven. All he needed was $500. He walked in, put a mask on, and said, give me all the money in the register. When they did, what he didn't know, there was a man coming in to buy milk for his family. When Tommy's dad turned around, he was freezing. The gun went off. There was one in the chamber. It shot the man and killed him. Now Tommy's dad is in prison for life for murder. Now I remember when I was really small, my brother, 7 years older, looked at my mom on Christmas Eve and said, "This is the saddest Christmas story I've ever heard in my entire life." "Mama, what?" She goes, "Shut up, boy." My mom don't play, y'all know what I'm saying? If you ever seen a Madea movie, she's real. My mom said, "Now listen very carefully. Tommy's mom got sicker and sicker. There was nothing they can do. So the city, the government took Tommy and said, there's better homes. There's foster care. We have people that can take care of him." They put him in foster care while she went to the doctors and was in the hospitals, and they were doing what they can. And what Tommy looked forward to was every Friday, because on every Friday he would run home from school, no matter what foster care home he was in, because his mama would know. And on Friday she would write him a letter, and he would get a letter from his mom. He would get a letter from her, and sometimes his dad would write a letter. He wouldn't write as much as mom, but every Friday, no matter what home he was staying in, she would write and say, "Are you okay? Your parents say they're treating you good. The medicine's working. I'm going to see you soon. We're going to be back together again." And what Tommy would do after he saw the letter and the foster care parents would read to him, he would run upstairs, open his backpack, and pull out his shoebox, and he put every letter in that shoebox. He collected every one from the day he left his mom. Every Friday he put them in the shoebox, and he would just go, even when he couldn't read them yet, he would just look at him. Months turns into years. He would see his mom every now and then. He noticed she kept getting skinnier and skinnier, and in one foster care home, he got there at the 1st of November, and when he walked in the house, his backpack over his shoulder, his foster care dad said, "Hey, buddy, welcome to our home, and I just want you to know you've been in a lot of homes, but that's going to end. We told the government we would take you, but they got to stop moving you around, so we need to know your rules." And he says, "Only rule I have is this, sir. On Friday, my mom sends me a letter, and I just was wondering if it's okay when I get home from school on Friday that you read the letter to me." He says, "Word, bro, whoa, we could do that." This guy was pretty cool, and his wife was even cooler, all right? He says, "That's all your rules?" He goes, "That's it, sir. What rules do you have?" He goes, "I got one rule. We go to church. We go to church, Sunday school and church every Sunday." He says, "You got to go with us, because we ain't leaving you home by yourself, because your little backpack, I don't know what's in it. It could be a bomb and you're going to blow up our dog." That's the kind of dad he was. Little boy goes, no. He says, "My backpack, this is a shoebox, and it's every letter that my mom writes me on Friday since I left home." And he knew his record. He goes, "You've been gone for 5 years." He said, "Every letter, every Friday." At the end of that first week on Friday, he ran home. He looked at his foster care mom and said, "Is it here? Is it here?" She goes, "It's here." He goes, "You got to read it. You got to read it." She goes, "I can't." He goes, "But the rules." He goes, "Yeah, but your foster care dad said if I open this letter before he gets home from work, that I'm in trouble." And the boy goes, "He wants to hear the letter too." "Okay." When he got home, he goes, "Is the letter here?" She said, "Yes, the letter's here." He went, "Oh, good. Then I can throw this one away from work. I had one of the secretaries write a fake one just in case she didn't send one." Anybody reading into this like I am? Yeah. That's kind of cool, isn't it? Yeah. Read the letter. He goes, "Read it again." Foster care dad read the letter. And he went upstairs, opened the shoebox. His foster care dad was behind him. And when he opened the box, letters started coming out. He said, "Buddy, you might need a bigger shoebox." He said, "Yeah." And he weighed you. Goes, "Hold on. Try this one." Every Friday, there was a letter. Then they went to church. Sunday school was a boys-only middle school class. Could you imagine that? Who in their right mind would teach a boys-only middle school class? Even Jesus would opt out of that one. Just not happening, dude. But her name was Sister Rice. She was 87 years old, and she ruled with an iron ruler. She had a 4-foot ruler. If you messed up, she would just pop you in the head. Your parents knew you messed up because there was a number 4 right here on your forehead. She did not play. And when she goes, everybody, welcome Tommy. Tommy's in our class. Now, Tommy, look, in 2.5 weeks, we got to do the Christmas play. And you got to figure out what you, with all the play, you could be a cow, you could be a donkey, you could be any, you could be a shepherd, you could be an angel. You get to pick. And all Tommy knew about the Christmas story, all he knew, there were 3 wise men. And he goes, ma'am, I want to be a wise man. 3 boys popped up and went, wrong, we the wise men. And that lady, like Zorro, slapped a 4 upside all 3 of their heads. Sha-da-da-da! It was over. And she said, Tommy, if you want to be a wise man, you can be a wise man. This year, there are going to be 4 wise men. But Tommy, look at me. 1 wise man brought gold, the other frankincense, the other myrrh. Since you're the new wise man, you need to find something more precious to you than anything to lay at the feet of Jesus. He says, got it. When they got home on that Sunday afternoon, there was a policeman in the driveway. And the policeman says, can I speak to you two? And they go, Tommy, go upstairs. Lunch is be ready in 30 minutes. You could play. And the policeman goes, we decided instead of calling, we should come and tell you. Tommy's mom passed away today. And Tommy's dad had 1 request. He wants to see Tommy on Monday. Can you bring him to the state pen? Okay, everybody touch your neighbor and say, here we go. Touch your other neighbor and say, here we go. First thing they had to do as they let him eat, they said, eat lunch, then we'll tell him. They told Tommy, they said, your mom passed away. And he goes, can you read Friday's letter? So they read Friday's letter 1 more time. And after they read the letter, he put it back in his shoebox. And then he goes, they said, there's more. Tomorrow you're not going to school. He goes, why? He says, we have to go see your dad. He wants to see you. And he goes, I don't know. It's been so long. And he goes, we're going to go with you, but I'm going to take time off work. We're going to take you. And they took him. Now, I'm just not going to make this long. But you know what? Sometimes when you play with the world will do things so tragic and so messed up. You cannot underestimate how nasty the world will be. Are you listening to me? 2020 might have been nasty, but 2021 could be worse. But it can never be worse when you have Jesus on your side. Remember the scriptures. Remember what I gave you. I don't know who holds tomorrow, but I know Jesus has tomorrow in the palm of his hands. I don't know what it's going to bring, but he knows. Now let's get there. I got a smooth 2 minutes and 30 seconds. Watch this. When they got to the state pen, it was a window with the phone, right? Okay, cool. And all of a sudden, Tommy's sitting there, dad and mom standing behind him. This guy walks in, beard, and he goes, dad. And he picks up the phone. He goes, I'm not your dad. I don't know who your mama was sleeping with. I'm not your dad. I don't ever want to hear from you again. I'll never write you another stupid letter. She made me do that. And now she's dead. And I wish you'd never been born. If it wasn't for you, she never would have had cancer. If it wasn't for you. And this foster care dad took it, said, give me the phone. And he picked it up and he said, look at me. And the dad looked at the foster care dad. And the foster care dad said, I will come and be your cellmate if it wasn't for this glass. And he hung up the phone and said, come on, Tommy. Tommy never shed a tear. But on Friday when he got out of school, he didn't run home. He walked home. When he walked in the house, his foster care parents were sitting in the living room, and his foster care mom goes, your mom sent a letter. He couldn't believe it. He goes, wait, she died on Sunday. She must have wrote it before she passed away. He says, all right, read the letter. It was all about hope. It was all about love. It was her saying, I know that I might not be able to see you with my eyes again, but trust me, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. And you got to know you're in the perfect family. Everything's going to be all right. I don't know why this happened. And then he knew. That was Friday. On Saturday, it came Sunday, and Sunday morning it was time for the Christmas play. When it started, Everything was good. Mary and Joseph, the baby, the cows, the goats, all that stuff. Then it came time for the three wise men. Go ahead and push play. We got to set this up. This is great. You're great. They're at the back door of the church. And when it came time for the wise men to come in, it was great. The first wise man had gold. The second one had frankincense. The third one had myrrh. And the people in the church were looking. Oh, that's cool. That's cool. Can I give you a little secret? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You know what gold is? Yeah. Frankincense is the most sweet fragrance you can ever have in your entire life. But do you know what myrrh is? It's the key ingredient in embalming fluid. So when Jesus was born, he had the most precious things that you can have in this life. Gold that can get you anything you needed in this world. Frankincense, the smell and the fragrance of something sweet. But the last was so the world could know why he was really there. Forget the angel singing. Forget everything that's happening. Forget hell to the king. Forget all that. I came to be a man to die for your sins, to die for your. So even when he was born, he proclaimed what he came to do in 2021. Never forget what God came to do and what he did for you. So gold, frankincense, myrrh, and then the whole church watched the fourth wise man. And you can see it on their face. What the world? But Tommy, back held high, carrying his shoebox, he was like making it happen. When they got up there, they laid it at the feet of Jesus. Gold, frankincense, myrrh, and a shoebox. When the play ended, they had cookies and punch. Kids love cookies and punch. But in order to get to the car after the cookies and punch, you had to walk through the auditorium. Tommy's foster care mom and foster care dad see everything. As they walked through the back of the auditorium, they looked up front. They saw the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But the shoebox was gone. Everybody, hold on. At that moment in heaven, the pearly gates opened. Gabriel shouted to an angel that was flying way over the speed limit, "Slow down!" But he did not slow down. This angel came to a halting stop at the throne of God with Jesus sitting on the right hand. As he bowed as low as he could, he says, "God, is this what you wanted?" And God the Father grabbed a shoebox and said, "Yes, yes, 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 yes." Started to cry. And Jesus said, "Dad, what's wrong?" He goes, "This is why you did what you did. This is why you became a man. This is why we have Christmas, so that the world can give me their hurt and their pain. In 2021, if you want to make it great, whatever it is you're carrying that you shouldn't be carrying, you got to lay it at the feet of Jesus. You got to give it to him. Cast all your cares upon him, for he already showed you he cares about you. And 2021 is going to be great. Jesus, I pray for your church this morning. I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would touch each and every person here. God, I pray, God, that you would answer the cry of their heart. God, I pray, God, that you would be a will within the will. Help them today. God, I know there are people this morning who are hurting. There are people this morning who need you. And God, I pray in the last minutes of this service, you would be hope to somebody today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to give you 15 seconds. You got to go from sitting to standing. People always ask me this. Why do you give altar calls to make people move? Here's why. Because if you can't stand for Jesus in a room like this, how are you going to live for him in a world like that? So some of you have been carrying stuff, and I don't take this lightly. I'm going to tell you right now. I know the hurt that the world can put in a person. I know the mean things that can happen to people. But Jesus gives us opportunities to just let go. And it may seem so simple, stand and let somebody pray for you. No. You're standing with the weight of that hurt and that pain on your shoulders. And you're deciding not to carry it out on January 3rd, 2021. So you got 15 seconds. If you're carrying something and you're ready, I'm going to give it to God. I'm going to be the fourth wise man. I'm going to lay it at the feet of Jesus. You got 15 seconds to stand, and I'm going to pray for you. 14, 13, 12, 11. 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, in Jesus' name, 1. Stretch your hands towards somebody who's standing. God, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit would touch them. God, some of these people have lost loved ones. Some of these people are grieving with the loss. But you, God, can be the peace that they need. So, God, the scriptures that we read, we're standing on. God, as we lay this at the feet of Jesus, be their hope. Be their hope. Be their peace. Let them feel your presence today. Let them know they can make it today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Everybody clap for the courage it took. You can sit down. Pastor Jesse's coming out with me. Let me do one more prayer. Let me do one more prayer. Everybody look at Reggie. Look at me. Do you know him today? Do you know him? Do you know him? Hey, I'm going to be honest with you. March 7th was the last public school assembly program I did until it was October, the end of October. And I forgot how much I missed doing public schools. Other than that, I've done nothing in a public school setting. I may have preached in 7 churches since March 7th. That's all I've had. And God's paid every bill. I don't even know how. I'm not that. Everybody looks at guys like me and think we loaded, we save money, we do all this investment. I don't even know what that means, y'all. I don't have a clue. I do. I'll probably die poor. I've done certain things, and I ain't afraid to tell you. If you notice, I don't say join my ministry team and help sponsor me monthly, because I believe in the church. I believe in what you're doing in this city. So I would never, ever, because see, some people would give to a guy like me more than they would give to Eternity Church. I don't know how that would be. So I'm not even giving them the opportunity to support me with their tithe, because I'm not the church. Tithe is the church. Somebody like, why are you telling me this? Because even though I made these commitments because my wife made me, because I listened to her, God has paid all my bills. I have a home. I get to pay my mortgage. And I don't know, my accountant, he looked at me and goes, I did your taxes in 43 minutes. I ain't never done your taxes in 43 minutes. He goes, is there anything else? There's got to be more. You should be getting free cheese. I love that free cheese, though, y'all. It's the best. Whipped cheese is the bomb. That's when I was a kid. And some of you are like, why are you so happy? Because do you know what? He got us here. He got us this far. He's going to take us the rest of the way. But it starts with giving your life to him. If you don't know Jesus, this is your day. Romans chapter 10. It says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Now note, I'm the son of a prostitute. That's why I grew up in foster care, which is why my foster care mom used that story. She did that story for me. Are y'all listening to me? But it starts with you saying, I've done it on my own and I'm in trouble. Maybe this morning you're in trouble. Pastor Jesse, come and stand with me. Because we're going to say a prayer asking Jesus to forgive us of our sin. And then you're going to go public in front of one man, and it's Pastor Jesse. Because in Matthew it says, if you declare me before man, I'll declare you before my Father in heaven. So everybody bow your head, close your eyes, and everybody say this with me. You know if you need Jesus today. Everybody say, Jesus. I need you. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. This day, I believe in you. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me this opportunity to give you my life. Now, on the count of three, nobody looking up, on the count of three, if today you walked in this service with sin in your life and you gave your life to Jesus, I don't care, it don't matter. You said that prayer with your own mouth. By faith, you're going to declare Jesus before your pastor. In this room, when I get to three, you're just going to look up and wave at pastor. Online, there's like clapping hands, okay, or waving hands. Go down to the comment and put a wave. You're like, but my name's on here. Go public for Jesus on three. You're going to look up and wave at him if you got right with God this morning. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Do it, do it, do it, do it. Just wave at him, 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 wave at him. Okay, church, this is where we get to rejoice. Clap your hands, all you people.
Hey, would you all mind standing up with us? We're just going to do a couple of things before we finish the service today. And the first thing we want to do is, if you prayed that prayer today and gave your life to Jesus Christ, or maybe you had been away from God and you gave your life and you come back to faith in Christ today in our service, whether you're in the room or online, could you please text the word SAVE to the number 25827? There's a couple of reasons for that. Obviously, we want to send you a gift card to a local coffee shop. We want to send you a Bible and a worship CD. Just a couple of things to help you grow in your faith. But also, if you'd allow us the opportunity to contact you, maybe have one of our pastors take you out for coffee or for lunch. We'd love to answer any questions that you might have and help you grow stronger in your relationship with God. And we want 2021 to be a great year in your life and in your family's life. And we believe that, you know, even though there are things in our lives and drama in our past and even struggles in our present, that in the midst of all of that, whether the struggle is self-inflicted or by others, that God will use all the situations and all the drama, all the decisions, everything in your life, God will use it to bless your life. And we want to help you become all that God designed you to be. So please text the word SAVED to the number 25827. That'd be fantastic. We also just want to say a quick word of prayer for you. And so if you wouldn't mind, whether you pray that prayer or not, let's just all in faith, as we shout our hands and pray for everyone that gave their lives to Christ today. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much that you're good, that you're a good God, and that there's nothing that can separate us from your love. God, our sin, our brokenness, our decisions, God, nothing can separate us from your great love for us. And I pray that you would make that so real in their hearts, that every person that gave their life to you today, that they would, even now in this room or in their room, wherever they are, that even now they would be overwhelmed with the love of God for so many of them, the first time knowing that they are unconditionally loved. They're not loved so that this or that or some other thing can happen, but they're unconditionally loved by you. May that be real in their lives, I pray. And God, if any of them carry any shame or pain from decisions that they've made or decisions that others made to them or around them, God, we just pray that shame would break off their lives in the name of Jesus and be replaced with hope, with joy, and with love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. I saw about 15 hands go up in the service there. Because I'm not sure if I saw everybody, if you all could please text the word SAVE to number 25827. We're actually going to sing through this song one more time. I think it's Dead Man Come Out of the Grave. Is that right? Yeah, come on. We're going to sing that song again. There's two things I want to do. Number one, as we sing that song, you just declare that over your life and the dead visions or the dead relationships or situations of your life. Just say, get out of that grave. Come on. We're coming alive again. Amen. But also, as we begin, we're going to take up an offering to bless Reggie and his family. And he doesn't do it for the money. And if he did, we wouldn't even invite him, right? Like, if, you know, honestly, I don't want a preacher that's here just for the coin, you know? But I tell you what, Reggie and every other itinerant I know, they had 2020 booked up. Like, they were good to go. Going to go to schools, going to go to churches, going to go to conferences, going to go to camps. They were booked up. It was going to be great. Then all of a sudden, boom, empty calendar. And these guys rely on that. And I really want to just, I want to sow into his ministry. And I felt the Lord say to us yesterday that what the devil took from him, God's going to repay. And we get to be a part of that miracle. There's a story in the Word where they say, I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. And I believe that we can be a part of God bringing back into Reggie's life and Reggie's family that the devil took from him. Amen. And I want to encourage you to participate in this offering. And please don't just be a tither. Let's not be people that are like, well, I tithe, that's it. No, like, be generous at the cafe and be generous to preachers and other people too. Let's be generous people, amen. And so God bless you as you give. You can give online at My Eternity. www.ecclesiasticsmedia.com/give. And Brad, it's honor, right? Just click on the tab that says honor so that we can make sure that we send that where you intended it to go. And also right now, this second offering, we're going to keep separate. So you can put cash or checks in here. Write the checks to Eternity Church and we'll pass it on and on to him as well. And again, here's the thing though. I want to make sure that even though the devil canceled every school engagement that man had in 2020, well, I want to make sure that he can see it comes up in 2021. Amen. And so let's sow into that ministry, doing great things. So we'll do that right now. Another thing, if you want prayer, after the bucket goes past, and it's not because we want your money, we're not keeping this, right? Like, but after the bucket goes past, just for the sake of order, so we don't lose it, if you could wait till after it goes past, and then if you want prayer for anything at all, like above and beyond what we prayed for y'all, if you want prayer for something, come down the front. We got a team of real faith-filled people that want to pray for you if you would like to see a miracle in your life, okay? So God bless you. Let's sing this song and declare it with all our hearts. Dead man, come out of that grave. Live in Jesus' name. Come on.
Well, thank you so much for listening to this message. If you enjoyed it, be sure to check out our other episodes. If you would like to connect with Eternity Church, please visit myeternity.com and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at My Eternity Church. We'll see you next week. Love you heaps.